the UT Symphony Orchestra, combined choirs, and selected soloists are getting ready for a performance of Beethoven's monumental Symphony No. 9, which will be presented at the Tennessee Theater on Sunday, February 23rd at 7:30 p.m. And here to talk to me about this performance is Maestro James Fellenbaum. Welcome. It's great to see you again.
It's great to see you too. Thank you for having me.
Now, this performance is part of the Beethoven 250 celebration, which has been taking place over the past year and a half to celebrate the 250th anniversary of Beethoven's birth. This is certainly one of his largest pieces. Will this be the final event of the series?
There will be continuing concerts throughout 2020, as most orchestras and choirs and ensembles are celebrating Beethoven throughout the 2020 calendar year. But yes, this certainly will be the largest event with perhaps the most people of any kind of concerts that would be going on in our School of Music. And yes, with 130 in the choir and 70 in the orchestra and four soloists, there's going to be a lot of people on stage. It's going to be quite an event.
Indeed. So over 200 students involved.
Yes.
Does it ever feel overwhelming as a conductor to be in charge of leading so many people?
It is daunting at times because as a conductor, you study, you try to immerse yourself in everything that Beethoven put into this work, which at the time he wrote it, it had two functions among many others. One was that he really did have this ideal of universal brotherhood, that he wanted to express these ideas through this symphony. And at the same time, he was also putting on this concert just to see if he was still marketable, to see if people still would buy tickets to come to see him. And in fact, after the first performance, he went home miserable because ticket sales did not cover the costs of the concert to put on there. So I'm immersing myself in all that Beethoven wanted to express through this and in whatever my role and abilities are as a ringleader of all of the forces to bring us all together and to bring Beethoven's message forward in a unified and cohesive and expressive and grand way. Yes, it's daunting. Some of the moments are indeed overwhelming just aurally and spiritually because it's such a grand and monumental piece of music. It's an incredible journey, for sure.
Mm-hmm. How many times have you conducted this piece?
This is the second time I have done the entire symphony where I have done other movements in other kinds of concerts or workshops. And of course, the first time was when we did it in 2013 with, again, the UT Symphony and the choral ensembles and the soloists in the Tennessee Theater.
You've been known to conduct from memory from time to time. Are you going to conduct this from memory?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, wow.
Some people can play the fastest violin ever. Some people have the greatest trumpet tone. And memory has always been just a musical gift of mine. That just came to me early on when I first started to play the cello in fourth grade. It was just something that came to me. So doing things from memory allows me to communicate with the orchestra, with the choir, with the soloists more. I prefer to do that when I can so that my communication with everybody on stage is to my liking and is to the maximum effect.
The UT School of Music performed this work 7 years ago. How is it different coming back to this same piece after 7 years?
Well, both sets of orchestra and choirs and soloists were outstanding in 2013. They're outstanding this time as well. Having gone through the process once, for all of us who are involved in preparation, myself and the choral directors, Dr. Angela Beatty and Dr. Lindsay Cope, and all of the student conductors who are helping prepare this, since we've done it once, we know where are the sections that are just, oh my goodness, so hard. Mm-hmm. And then where are the spots where we can just kind of let it go and just let it happen? What things do we need to really work on? What things are okay? So having done it once, I think it's helped us plan better and just plan more efficiently as to how we're going to tackle this. Beethoven's Symphony No. 9 is just flat out hard. And there are some moments, and I've had quick conversations with some members of the orchestra where they would say, you know what, this part is so hard, it's almost downright impossible. Mm-hmm. And it's true. There are some things and some aspects that are just so, so, so difficult and maybe even impossible. But we aspire to try to get everything that Beethoven meant in this piece And having gone through it once before, I at least for sure had a plan. We've known going in ahead of time where those really, really difficult traps are so that we could get right at it and then get to the rest of the difficult stuff.
You mentioned this a little earlier, that this piece expresses the ideals of brotherhood and unity. How is this expressed through the music?
In the fourth movement, he introduces the human voice as part of the symphony, which up until then had been a purely instrumental medium. And by expressing his ideals with words, Beethoven can further imbue his musical message. And as I've said in concerts before, oftentimes we think of harmony and melody and rhythm, but oftentimes with Beethoven's music, it's a state of being. Like in the middle of his Fifth Symphony, you hear chords going back and forth, and it's harmony, but it's really just, what is he thinking? Where is his place in life? Where is Beethoven's place in the universe? And so as he is always thinking of those things and thinking of a greater ideal for mankind, he further imbues his music by having text, and he uses part of a poem by Schiller called An die Freude, which is Ode to Joy. And this melody, well, we've heard that many, many times. We've sung it in chorus, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. That in and of itself, because of the simplicity of the melody, is somewhat universal. It just kind of seems like that's been there for all time, even though it was composed by Beethoven less than 250 years ago. The universal ideals in this poem are, and by the way, he uses just part of the poem because there are other aspects of the poem that are more akin to a drinking song, that kind of thing. But one of my favorite parts of the whole poem is this one moment that says, Ihr stürzt nieder Millionen. He says, do you fall down millions? In other words, do you realize that God is up there? He's there past the starry canopy. Do you acknowledge your creator, millions? Do you fall down in front of him? And so he's expressing our place in the universe and the ideals of universal brotherhood and how we should all be at a higher enlightened level. And because he can express this through words, this is one of the things that made his Symphony No. 9, indisputably his most influential piece. I mean, after him, all composers, all musicians were influenced by this incredible work of art that Beethoven had created. And it's because of not just how incredibly well-crafted the symphony is, but this extra expression through the voice and through words. I mean, he really did, and I said this when we were about to perform it back in 2013, Beethoven just kicked down the door of classical music, and he made expressions and gestures and musical moments that were unlike any before him. Not just notes and rhythms and melodies and harmony, but a state of being, a state of mind.
And I can't help but think of, I mean, what better way to experience unity and brotherhood than creating music with so many other people? Mm-hmm. I mean, you said over 200 people on stage. And then as an audience member, being a part of that by listening to it and being a very important part of that. So I can't help but think that maybe that was part of Beethoven's message, too, is just the act of creating this music.
Yes, creating this music and sharing it with the millions, and hoping that all of us, as we say often, even in these times, music brings people together, and that his message and the listener and all of it put together just raises these great ideals, and that was his hope.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a universal ideal that's never going to go away.
Yes.
You know, we humans always have trouble getting along, and so we have to be reminded.
Yes, you're exactly right.
So I seem to recall the last time the School of Music performed this 7 years ago, we had to turn over 200 people away from the door.
That's right.
So I'm guessing people should get their tickets now?
Yes, that's right. For tickets and more information, they can visit TennesseeTheater.com. And there's a link to the UT Symphony and Choral Ensemble's site on Ticketmaster, where you can find out information about tickets. And yes, lots of great tickets are still available. We would love to have just a huge full house. So I'm really encouraging everyone to check out that website and come and see a fantastic evening of one of the greatest pieces in the history of music, if I'm not overstating it, which I'm personally me, I'm not, to hear one of the great pieces of all time, Beethoven's Symphony No. 9.
Excellent. Maestro James Fallenbaum, thank you so much for coming to talk with me about this performance.
Thank you so much, Melanie.
Once again, the UT Symphony Orchestra, combined choirs, and student soloists are performing Beethoven's Symphony No. 9 on Sunday, February 23rd at 7:30 p.m. at the Tennessee Theater in downtown Knoxville. This is part of the Beethoven 250 celebration organized by the UT School of Music. More information on this event, as well as other Beethoven-related events, can be found online at music.utk.edu. We'll be right back.